Okay.
So tonight we're on Shabbos Daf Nun Dalet, 54A, and tonight's Daf Yomi is sponsored by Gavriel Aronoff on the occasion of the Yuletide of his father, Avram Ben Raphael, Zichron Lebracha. All right? So let's take a look. All right. So if you remember, we said that that there are... everybody mute themselves now at this point. Let me mute everybody. Okay, everybody's muted. Okay, good. Now, okay, so if you remember... We said that when it comes to animals going out on Shabbos, the person is commanded that the animals, you know, shouldn't do malacha, including hotza'ah, including carrying on Shabbos. And just like a person has a malbush and a tachshit, so too animals have the same thing. So we have to see what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. And then sometimes the issue is that the animal may drop something and cause the human master to pick it up and carry it. And that's also another reason why we might not let an animal go out. So we're on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, 54A, the top line, okay? So it says, HaRechelim Yosot Kivulot. We said Rechelim are female sheep, ewes, E-W-E-S in English. It's not a word we commonly use, but the ewes. Anyway, so HaRechelim Yosot Kivulot, the ewes can go Kivulot. So the Gemara says, my kavula, what are kavulot? What does that word mean? So the Gemara says, shemechablin al yishalehen lamata kidei shlo yalu alein hazacharim. That their, the alya is like their fatty tail is like with this, you know, with this, it's covered over so that the males can't mount them. The males can't have relations with the female sheep. In other words, it's like a, let me see, what does Rashi say over here? It's one second. Anyway, that's the basic idea with it. So, let's take a look. He says, this is my mashma dai kavul lishna delo abid perehu. Now, kavul means like to be chained, to be fastened. So, but how do I know, where do I see that kavul is also used in the context of preventing productivity? It means, there's like, I think, a piece of leather that's attached to the animal that pulls the tail down, and now the males can't have relations with the female sheep, with the ewes. So the Tana of the Mishnah is saying that the Rechelim can go out on Shabbos with the, they can go out kavulot. So the Gemara says, so my mashal dai kavul lishna delo abid perehu. This is line 5, nun dalet amud aleph. Welcome everybody. So how do I know that, where do I see that kavul is used in the context of not making payroll, not productivity? Dichtiv, there's a pasuk in Sefer Malachim, the Book of Kings, Ma'arima Eila Shonatat Liyachi, Vayikra Lahem Eretz Kavul Adayom Azeh. So in Sefer Malachim, Chiram, the king of Tzor, and Chiram was from a mixed marriage. His father was Jewish, his mother was not Jewish, but he was an Oev Yisrael, and he was a big supporter of Shlomo HaMelech, and he supplied him with different elements for the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech, the Pshuto Shemekra, Shlomo HaMelech gave him 20 cities in the Galil in gratitude for his support. That's the Pshuto Shemekra. So it says that when Chiram, you know, was able to examine what these cities were, so he said on line 5, Maharima Eila Shenatata Liachi, what did you give me? Like, I'm not happy with the whole chevra here, the whole team. He says, Vayikra Lahem Eretz Kavul Adayom Azeh. He called it Eretz Kavul, the land of Kavul. So my Eretz Kavul, so the Gemara asks, what does Eretz Kavul mean? It says, Amar Avhuna Shayuba Bnei Adam Shum Chubalim V'Kesev V'Zahav. That there were people in the land who were wrapped in silver and gold. It means that they were loaded. It was like the exclusive part of Eretz Israel. So he says, Amar Li Rava, Ihachi, Haino Dechtiv, V'Lo Yashru Be'inav. So if that's the case, it's a very wealthy place. So why did it not find favor in Chiram, the king of Sur's eyes? He's getting a wonderful deal. So he says, because it was so wealthy, he wasn't happy with it. Amalei in, came into Atiri Mefanki. The people were so wealthy, and Mefanki means like sensitive, like everything has to be like sybaritic. Lo avdi avidita. So they didn't work. They wouldn't be pressed into the king's service, is the way the article says it. So that not such a productive area. So the point is, now the word kavul is something we say every morning in our Pesukei de Zimmer, right? We say Lesor Malchem Zikim Nepudei Mechablei Varzel, like to bind their honored ones in chains, Bekavlei Barzel. So we see that word Kavul, Kavlei Bekavul. So Kavul means it's fastened onto the sheep, and we said what it was, but it also implies non-productivity, because Chiram could lend Eretz Kavul, and there it meant that they were wrapped. They're like, it's the same idea, Kavul, they were wrapped in silver and gold, but they weren't so productive. Let me just do two more lines, and I'll pause. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Eretz Chumton Haito. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, a different shot. It was land of Chumton, it means the land wasn't very arable. It was a very salty area, and the land was cracked. And Chumton is a word we had earlier in the Masechta. You might remember on Daf Lamed Aleph, it mentions Chumton. Anyway, so it says here, but my curry like Kavul, why do they call it Eretz Kavul? He says, Demishtarga Bakara Ad Kavlo. He says that a person's foot would sink into it, Ad Kavlo, means up until the ankle. He says, Va'amri Inshi Ara Mechabla Delo Abdi Pere. And people say that, like the land that's the ankle deep land that doesn't produce fruit, it means that, so Kavul is also related to non productivity here as well. In other words, Eretz Kavul is the land that your foot sinks into it. It was like all the land was like cracked and not arable, but it's coming out like that it's not productive. Now, I remember a number of years ago, I think it was Lyle Mitzner had mentioned to me, he was saying how it might have been from a shir he heard from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Like, remember they were talking about land for peace, you know, in Eretz Israel, you know, to making ostensible peace with the Palestinians, but the idea was, you know, could from people sign off on giving a part of the land of Eretz Israel to their enemies. So these psukim, at first blush, seems to imply that that's what Shlomo Melech did, that he took a piece of Eretz Israel and gave it to Chiram, the king of Tzur. Although, if you look in the Mefarshim, the Abarbanel learns that's not what he did. The Abarbanel learns that all Chiram did was all that Shlomo did was he said that Chiram could take that which the land produced for a given period of time. In other words, that the land produced chitim, wheat, and things like that. So he gave him, like, the product of that land for a period of time. Not that he was giving him all, dispensing with part of Eretz Yisrael, which would make a lot of sense, because it's very hard to understand how somebody would, you know, dispense with part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line, let's go over. I'll just repeat once more, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So we said in the Mishnah that the rechelim, the female sheep or the ewes, they can go out kivulot, and kivulot means they have something attached to them, like it sounds like a piece of leather, that holds the tail down, and that the males can't mount them and have relations with the animals, so they can walk out with that on Shabbos. That's considered a type of malbush for them, and that's the piece. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? Everybody good?
I don't understand why it's a malbush, because it's really for the benefit of the owner, not the animal.
Yeah.
Right. And I have a question. Why would it be considered Mahal Shabbos if they did have relations?
No. If the animals have relations, that's not a Chilul Shabbos. Can the animal walk out with this attached to it? That's the key. So the mission says the animal can walk out with that. So, wait, let me speak to David first, then I'll come to you, Ruth, okay? So, whether it's a malbush or not, so the only thing I would say, I'll tell you in a minute. One second. Yeah, well, he says here that it's really protecting the animal. It sounds like protecting the animal. So I don't know what to say about that. So it's for the protection of the animal. So that's why you can go out with it. Right. I don't know more to say. Okay.
I thought it was for the benefit of the owner.
It is the benefit of the owner, but it's protecting the animal, like from like a certain thing. But that's okay. Anyway. Okay. Ruth, what do you got for me? What's up?
No, I'm asking, what is the nature of protection here? What is the nature of protection? Why does the animal need to be protected? Let's say that
the owner doesn't want the animal to conceive.
Why?
because maybe he's, you know, it's, I don't know, it's like it's fat or maybe it doesn't conceive. I don't know, I'm not an expert on animal husbandry, but he doesn't want the animal to conceive. All right. All right. Everybody, let's all mute ourselves again. Okay. All right, let's go further. All right. Now. All right. Now we're around 10 lines down on the Dalet Amud Aleph, okay? So now then we said kivunot. Again, this is all according to the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says the animals can walk out kivunot. So the Gemara says, my kivunot. You see that even these words in the time of the Gemara weren't so obvious what they meant. Like the Gemara doesn't say, you know, what is malacha, what does this mean, what does that mean? But these words, the Gemara says, what do they mean? So you see that even Bizman Chazal, they weren't so clear on them. So my kivunot, so shemechabdin oto lemelot. So mechabdin means to fasten, but it would be a covering on the sheep. For melot means like for fine wool. And Rashi, let's see the Rashi on this. On the second narrow line, Shemachabin Koshin Beged Sibibo Biom Shinolad Shitzmoro Naki Mishamer Samro Shloyatif. In other words, it would wrap this covering on the young sheep, the lamb, on the day it's born, because it's like such a beautiful white color, and they would keep it covered so that then when they shear it, they have this beautiful white wool. That's called melot. So he says, so kvunod, my kvunod, Shemachabin Otol Melot, that they would fasten it. So it'll be used for melot. Melot means like the soft, nice wool. Kidetnan, and if you remember, like melot comes up all over the place, but remember we had in Masechet, earlier in the Masechet, about Yaakov with Yosef. You know, the Gemara said, the Olam, what is it? A person shouldn't favor one son over another son's. So because of two slain melot that Yaakov, you know, gave to Yosef, you know, so every all the brothers got jealous and caused us all to go to Mitzrayim. But it says two slime of Melot. That's it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Kidnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is in Masechet Negayim. He says, Se'eit Katzemer Lavan. If you remember, we just had in last week's Parsha Shavua, Tazriya Mitzora, so we spoke about, you know, a person's a Mitzora, so his skin turns white. So the Chazal teach us, it says, L'sa'et l'sapach l'baheret. So Chazal teach us there are two avot in the Goyim, Sa'et and Baheret, and then sapachat means you add a tolda to each one. So there are really four shades of white. So the way I remember is, one white is, like here he says, Sa'et is Ketzemer Lavan. Sa'et is like white wool, and that's the white wool we're talking about. Then another one is like Keshelik, like snow. Another is like loven beitza, the white of the egg. And there's a fourth one, which I have to remember. But anyway, the point is that there are four shades of white, and those all qualify for tzarat. But anyway, one of them, se'eit, is one type of tzarat. So se'eit is white like the white wool. So my semer lavan, what does it mean, semer lavan? So the Gemara says, Amra bibi barabaye, Kitzemer Naki Ben Yomo, like the wool at birth, Shemachabin Oto Lamela, they would cover it for Mela, the Machabin it for Mela. So again, according to the Tanakhama, a sheep is allowed to go out. That's also a type of protection. You're right. The protection isn't helping the sheep, it's helping the owner. But that's the way the sheep is allowed to go out with that. That's considered not Hotzan Shabbos. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, Ruth, you still have the spot? Ruth, you still following? You got the spot? Good, okay. Now, Va'izim Yotzot Sururot. So we said in the Mishnah that the goats go out Sururot with their udders tied. So Itmar, Rav Amar. Now, we said in the Mishnah that there was a Malchloket, right? So let's just refresh our recollections what the Mishnah said. So this Mishnah we did at the beginning of yesterday's daf. And by the way, happy Yom HaTzma'ut to everybody. So this was on Nun Beis Amud Beis. So the Mishnah had three opinions. The Mishnah said that Ha'izim Yotzot Sururot, the Tanakhama holds that goats can go out Sururot with their udders tied. And then Rabbi Yossi Oser Bekulan. Rabbi Yossi ostered all the things in the Mishnah. You can't go out with any of them. Chutzman Rechelim HaKvunot, except for the Rechelim that are Kvunot with the sheet over the wool. And then Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Izim Yotzot Sururot Liyabe Shavolo Lechalev. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that the goats can go out when they're tsurut, they're tied, when you want to dry up the milk. You don't want the animal to lactate. And Rashi says that that you want the animal to maybe become impregnated, or you want the animal to become, I think, fatter. He says, but it can't, if it's to catch milk that's issuing forth from the udder, they can't go out that way. Now, Rashi explains Rabbi Yehuda's last opinion really holds like the Tanakhama, that it's not Hotzah, none of these items are Hotzah, but he's afraid that the pouch may fall off and you'll come to carry the pouch. So that's a different concern, that, you know, sometimes the animal is wearing something and it falls off and it has value, and the owner may come to carry on Shabbos. So back in the Gemara, by Yisim Yotzot Tzurot, Itmar, Rav Amar, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. Rav says Halacha follows the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. That was the last opinion we did in the Mishnah, that they can only go out when it's Tzurot Liyabesh, that we don't want it to lactate, and so they would tie up the udder, but not Lechaliv, it was just to catch the milk. He says, Ushmul Amar Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, which is that it's all Hotza'ah except for Kavunot. Everything is Hotza'ah in the Mishnah except for the Kavunot, the sheet that's covering the wool. V'ikidamatni lahashmata ba'apei nafshe. Some learn this statement of Rav and Shmuel. It was the first statement of Rav and Shmuel is commenting on our Mishnah. Some learn that the statement of Rav and Shmuel did not go in the Mishnah. They learned Rav Amar liyabesh mutar v'lo lichalev. That Rav said explicitly, but it's the same as the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that if it's being tied up to dry up the milk, they can walk out with it, but not lichalev, not to catch the milk. He says Ushmul Amar echadze v'echadze asur. Shmuel says they're both asur. So it's the same opinions, but the statement was made a little bit differently. And there was one statement was on the Mishnah, one statement is an independent statement. Some learned that the statement of Rav and Shmuel went on the following brisa. This is a brisa we haven't done yet. The brisa says, "Izim yotzot tzruot liyavesh avolo lichalev," that goats can go out tied up with their udders just to dry up the udder, but not to catch the milk. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. He says, "Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira amru." There's a different tana, kach halacha. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira says halacha is like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda of all mi meipis ezel yavish ve'ezel lechalev. How can anyone figure out why a person is bringing out his goat? I mean, the observer does not know why the owner has got the udders tied up. I don't know if the udder, in other words, one is tied up tightly and one is tied up loosely, and that's why it might fall off. If it's to cause the udder not to the goat not to lactate, it's tied up so no milk will come out. And if it's tied up to catch the milk, it's not going to be as tight, and it might fall off, and then we're afraid of for a hotza'ah. But how can I, as an observer, know which one it is? And as a result of that, I may come say, "Ah, X walked out his goats, you know, with the pouches, and I don't realize that it was, you know, tight for liyavesh, and I think I could walk out with the pouches lechalev." He says, "Umitoksha imakir in echadze asur." So since we can't tell what the person's doing, so halach l'maisa, we have to see they're both prohibited. In other words, theoretically, he agrees not hotzah, but as a practical matter, they have to be both prohibited. He says, Amar Shmuel, v'amri lo, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halachik Rav Yehuda ben Bateira. So in this statement, Shmuel says halacha follows the Tana Rav Yehuda ben Bateira. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Yochanan, halachik Tana Kama. Yochanan says the halacha follows the Tana Kama, and the Tana Kama, this is an independent statement, the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. The Tana Kama of our Mishnah was lenient. He said you can go out with everything. Now, there are chilukim, with this whole thing. One minute. Alright, but let me just leave it. Okay, alright. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did? Alright.
I'm assuming that when it comes to Hotzah, there's an Eruv, the animal can partake of the Eruv, is that correct?
Well, it's the animal doesn't have any mitzvah, the person, but you're right, if there's an Eruv, all bets are off, right? Everything is different in an Eruv, right?
Isn't it odd that the halakha ends up not like Rav and not like that the Mesorah coming from Israel, from Ravin, is not like Rav and not like Shmuel at all?
Right.
There's so much discussion about Rav and Shmuel and who the halakha is.
Yeah, well, that's Lagabi Rav and Lagabi Shmuel, but Rav Yochanan is a gadol in Eretz Israel. But in terms of the halakha of Ma'isa, let me just take a look. Let's take a quick peek. Right, right. So it looks like the halacha is like the Tana Kama of our Mishnah, right? The halacha is like the Tana Kama. You know, but the emes is, though, Michael, in the... you see, even Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, and Rabbi
Yehuda... Which was like Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, yes and no, I'll tell you in a minute. 1 second. You see, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda really agreed with the Tana Kama. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda really agreed conceptually. Right. So the Tana Kama, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda conceptually agrees with the Tana Kama that it's not Hotsa'a, but he's just concerned that it might fall off and then you might carry it. So he agrees it's not Hotsa'a, but there's another concern that you might come to carry it. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira says that's the halacha, but he can't figure out which way. So concerning that, Shmuel said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. So Shmuel is in essence saying conceptually he agrees with the Tana Kama. Just in one case at the end of the Mishnah, because of concern we can't figure out who's the one that really qualifies, which one isn't qualified, so we're answering all of it. But conceptually, Shmuel is, in essence, in the last version, is really agreeing with the Tana Kama. It's just a Ha'ara. Anyway, that's the way it unfolds. Okay, any other questions? What's up?
A lot of what we read, I don't know if it's strictly from Kabbalah, but so much that we're told that an eight and animals have an neshama, and there's almost a thought process almost. How come the animal is viewed so much like almost objectively, like in a way that there is absolutely no nothing in the way of any kind of personalization of the animal?
Well, first of all, I'm not aware of this about the animal having the shama. This is something else. But in halacha, which is what we're dealing with here in the Gemara, so you're right, the animal is the property, the animal's in a different getter, and I don't know what you saw in Kabbalah about the animals. I mean,
I haven't seen, but a lot of what is spoken about,
I think what you might be thinking of is like there's a lot about Gilgal Neshamos, that a person's a shaman, some people, you know, get converted into something else.
No.
All right, so I don't know. All I know is the Gemara. So this is the way the Gemara comes out, and that's the way we're going. Okay, let me move on. Okay, everybody mute themselves. Ruth, mute yourself, okay? Now, the next Mishnah. Okay, so the previous Mishnah we learned, Bameh Behema Yotza. How is it the animal, what can the animal go without on Shabbos? Now we switch over to the other side. So he says, Manitin Vamai Na Yotza. What is it not allowed to walk out with on Shabbos? What's like the kiss of death? Okay, and Gavriel, we said the learning was the Lunasham of your father tonight. Gavriel, can you hear me? Yeah, okay, so we said it was the Lunasham of your father. Okay, so we're on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, 54a, the second wide line from the top. Okay, Manitin, Uvamayin Ayotza, what is it not allowed to go out? Lo Yisig Gamal B'mitutelet. A camel can't go out with a mitutelet. Now Rashi has three pshatim, what this mitutelet is or might be. So let me see the Rashi. So some want to say it's like a strap that goes underneath its tail. Then another pshat he has, it's like a blanket, like a mardot that we'd spoken about earlier. And then he has another pshat, which I think he likes the best. It's a cushion, like a pillow type of thing. So we'll see in a minute, in the Gemara. The camel shouldn't go out with this metul telet. Lo akod v'lo ragol. Now, akod v'ragol are types of ways that it's bound. In other words, akod, we'll come to see in the Gemara, means where the front foreleg is tied to the hind leg. I don't want it to run away. So I could tie, but it's like restraining its walking, or one of its legs is like bent up and tied up, so it's in essence walking with three legs. So that it's not allowed to walk out with. that's the tiruta yeterta, excessive shmira. Remember we had with excessive shmira. So he said v'chein sha'ar kol behemo, and similarly other animals also the same thing would pertain to them. He says lo yishur gemalim zeb zebim shoch. And this is what you had asked about the other day, David, and we'll see more. You shouldn't tie camels one to another and pull them forward. But I could take ropes. Each animal has its own rope, and I wrap it around my hand. Provided, I can have it in my hand and then pull them all together. Provided I'm not korech it. I don't wrap it around my hand, the ropes. And the Gemara will say that last halacha is not a din in hotza'ah. It's going to be a din in shatnez. We'll see as we get into the Gemara. All right, we've got to be patient. You know, there was all these mishnah, we don't understand them completely, and then we'll do the Gemara, and then hopefully we'll understand it better. Okay, so the Gemara says on the fourth wide line, Gemara Tana, loitzei gamal b'metutel akshulo b'znavo. The camel shouldn't go with this metutel. So either we said either it's a blanket and it's secured by the tail, or it's a cushion, or it's a strap. He says, "Aval yotzei metutel akshura b'znavo b'chotarto." But it could go out if it's fastened to the tail and to the hump. And here the issue is that we're afraid, whatever this item is, that it will fall off, and the person, the human, will come to carry it. Again, so we said that one issue is, you know, is it a malbush? Is it you know, shmira for the animal? Is it hotza'ah? But another issue is sometimes we're afraid it will fall off, and the owner will carry something. We don't want that to happen. So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, yotzei gamal b'totel akshura b'shil yata. Excuse me, yeah, b'shil yata. That a camel could go out with a metultelet, so I'll say it's a cushion that's tied to like this placenta coming out of it, meaning because it's like so painful, like we're afraid that maybe the animal will, you know, flip it off or something like that, but it's so painful to tug at this placenta, so we don't think it's going to go anywhere. All right, now, okay, any questions on what we did so far? All right, let me go further. Now, lo akod v'lo ragol. We said that the camel, and we said all other animals, should not go out lo akod v'lo ragol. Akod is like akedas yitzchak, the binding of yitzchak. So akod is bound, right? And ragol, like hey, arm. So it means that the arm is tied. But we'll see in a minute. So Amrav Yehuda akod akedas yad v'regel ki yitzchak ben Avram. So he says the word akod means the foreleg is tied to the hind leg. In other words, I don't want the animal to run away from me. So I'm going to tie its front leg to left leg, so it's like, you know, it's like Bahavdi, like the chain gang, you know, nobody's running off on the chain gang, so that the camel's not running off anywhere if it's foreleg and hind leg are tied to one another. He says, Ragol, Shliakof Yado al Gabiz Ruo, Yikshur. And I'm saying that Ed's not here again tonight, I need him for all my animal gemaras. I don't think he went away on vacation, I can tell you that much. Anyway, so it means leg, like a leg is like, you know, there are the animal leg has got, you know, different segments than human limbs. I think they have like three, like, you know, could have even three segments, but one, and it has different flexibility than a human. But so I shouldn't like bend up one portion of the leg and then tie it, so in essence the animal only has three legs to walk on. And I'm doing that to restrain the animal. So in each one of these cases, I should not do that, because that's called netiruti yeterta, excessive shmira, and I, the owner, am chay for hotza'ah, for this thing that's tied to the animal. That's hotza'ah. So Meife, we ask a question from the following braisa on Rabbi Huda's. Now Rabbi Huda was giving his hesber of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said akod and ragol, and Rabbi Huda is the one who explained what akod and ragol was. So the Gemara asks a question from the following braisa. Akod shtei yadayim. Akod means the two forelegs being tied together. Ushtei raglayim, or the two hind legs being tied together. Ragol shlo yakof yado al gabiz ruo v'yikshur. Ragol, that's the same. That in other words, the leg shouldn't be tied up one to another. But it's but in other words, Rabbi Huda said akod meant foreleg with hind leg. The Braisa says akod means the two forelegs or the two hind legs together. So Huda marki aitan. And again, Rabbi Huda doesn't want to argue, or he can't argue with a Braisa. He's an Amara. So the Gemara says, like it typically says when you have a problem with an Amara, it says he's going to follow the following Tana. He says the Tani, we learn this Braisa akod akid yad v'regel. That a code means the foreleg and the hind leg. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. O shtei adayim, u shtei raglayim, or the two forelegs, or the two hind legs. Ragol shlekof yado al gabiz ro biyikshur, and then the one leg being tied up. So the Gemara says about kafi lo dami, but it still doesn't match up. Rabbi Huda just said a kohen meant a foreleg and a hind leg. This Bryce has got foreleg and hind leg, but also the two forelegs and also the two hind legs. So b'shleima reisha b'seifa nicha. So the very beginning of the Bryce, that accords with Rabbi Huda. The very end of the Bryce, about the one leg being tied up, that accords with Rabbi Huda. Mitziata kasha, the middle part is difficult, that doesn't reconcile with him. Ella Huda markihai tana. So the Gemara says, no, he's saying like this tana, not that tana, this tana. A kod akin yad v'regel kitzchak ben Avram. A kod means like the foreleg and the hind leg, like Yitzchak. It means when Yitzchak was bound by Avram Avinu, he's like, I think they say in English, hogtied. He was hogtied, like his arm to his leg, you know. He says, Ragol shleyakof yado agav is rovi ekshur. So we found a brisa that's on all fours with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the idea is that we had already, you can't go out with the animal that's gotten a tiruta yaterta, excessive shmira. And this type of binding of the animal counts as excessive shmira, so mela, the animal would be doing malach on Shabbos and it's not allowed. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts, anything we did so far?
This the binding of the leg, isn't that tzabal lechaim for the animal?
No, I don't know. No, it's not like he could still walk.
I mean, the animal
it doesn't mean the front leg and the hind leg doesn't mean it's like this. It could mean it's just tied, so he can't like gallop. You know what I mean? But it's not tsar. Okay.
All right. Why, if a donkey can go out on Shabbos with the saddle cloth, why can't a camel go out?
Because we're afraid. It's again, the donkey can only go out if it's fastened to it. But with the camel, apparently the saddle cloth was just one explanation. It might be the strap or it might be the cushion, but whatever it is, it's going to fall off the camel. It falls off the camel more easily than it would fall off a donkey. So if it's secured by being tied to the tail and to the hump, you can go out with it. All right, any other questions? All right, let's go further. All right, now, all right, we're six lines from the bottom. Ruth, you still following? Ruth, give me a thumbs up. Okay, good. Okay, we're 6 lines from the bottom. Okay, Mite, so we said, so we said we shouldn't tie the two camels together. So my taima, I didn't say right. In other words, you shouldn't tie camels together. The camels shouldn't be tied together. So he says, my taima, amar vashi mishum demechsi kimanda azil lechinga. It looks like you're going to the market. In other words, like that's the way they would attach animals when they would go to the market, maybe to sell the animals or whatever they do in the market. So he goes out like that on Shabbos. Looks like he's going to the market, and people think, you know, he's going to the market. So we don't want people to have like a Mara sign like that. So that relates to what you had said the other day, Pesach David. Where are you? But you had asked about that. All right, let's go further.
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, okay, now, Aval Machnis, we said though that in the Mishnah he says Aval Machnis Chavad Latok Yado B'Yimshok. He could take, you know, numerous ropes and hold it in his hand. So one camel won't be tied to another camel, but I could have 10 camels, and I'm holding on to 10 leashes in my hand. I could do that on Shabbos. And again, that's not Hotzah. That's, the leash is considered adequate shmira for the camel, and I'm holding on to it. So it's not Hotzah for the animal. It's not Hotzah for me either. So he says here, Amar Bashi Loshanu. Now, the Mishnah also says, though, that I shouldn't be korech. I shouldn't wrap it around my hand. So Amar Bashi Loshanu L'Nikilayim. So Rav Ashi says, this part about being korech, wrapping around my hand, nothing to do with Shabbos. It's a question in kilayim, in shatnez. So the Gemara says, kilayim demai, what type of shatnez? We know there's different types of shatnez, right? There's kilei zrayim, there's kilei begadim, there's kilei behema. In other words, I can't have a shor and a chamor working together. So kilayim demai, ilei mikilayim da'adam. If we're talking about kilayim da'adam, meaning that we're thinking, let's say the whatever animal is, doesn't have to be a camel, it could be any animal. Let's say the animals are, pulling a load. So this wouldn't be on Shabbos, but in general, because it's nothing to do with Shabbos. If the animals are pulling a load, and I'm pulling the animal, it's like I'm sort of pulling something together with the animal. So the Torah says, "Lo tacharosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav." I shouldn't bind an ox and a donkey together, and not just an ox and a donkey, but any different two different species to animals. So here, perhaps what the Mishnah is saying, that if the man and the animal, whatever the animal is, whether it be a camel or a goat or whatever, that maybe that's like, maybe I shouldn't do that because it's like, you know, kilei adam, v'hatznan. But we learn in the Mishnah, adam utarim kulam lacharosh l'mishoch. Man is allowed to pull the animal. As was lo tach v'shor v'kamei yachdav, only animals, different animals can't be bound together. I can pull together with my animal. So ela kilayim the chavalim. So the Gemara says, no, the type of shatnez we're talking about are the different ropes that he's holding. It means perhaps one rope could be a wool rope, one rope could be a linen rope. And now he's got it wrapped around his hand, and now we're choshesh for shatnez because he presumably will get benefit from being protected from the elements from it. So he'll be over on kilayim. Bahatanya, but the Gemara says, we learn in the Braisa, Hatokif tkifa achad enu chibur liolam, enu chibur. If it's tkifa achad, if things are bound with like one stitch, one tie, that doesn't count to be transgressed the law of shatnez. In other words, lo semer upishtim yachdav, so I have to have at least two. So liolam kilayim the chavalim, hachi gemar, vajshli yichrof v'yikshor. Meaning, I shouldn't have it that I'm korech, and then it's tied with two knots, so then I could be over on shatnez. That's what the Gemara is saying. So when it says the last part of the Mishnah has nothing to do with Shabbos, and it would even imply during the week, that I shouldn't be korech, I shouldn't attach like these ropes together, because I could run into a problem with shatnez. Okay, let me just do a few more lines and we'll do it. Now, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel has a din that relates back to the dinim of Shabbos. Amar Shmuel, Vaj lo yitzei chevel, mitachet yado tefach, the loose end, in other words, I'm holding on like to the leash, quote unquote. So the loose end, which is not attached to the animal, it's like, you know, after my hand, that shouldn't go out more than a tefach. In other words, if I have this loose part hanging out from my hand, then I get into an issue of hotzah and Shabbos. In other words, I'm allowed to pull the animal, but if there's an extra part at the end, I run into a problem. But a brice that was taught in the base medrash of Shmuel said I could have up to two tefachim out of it. So it's Amar Abayi, Hashdamar Shmuel Tefach, Vatamdavi Shmuel Tefachayim, Shmuel Lachal Maisa Atel Shmuinan. So he says, if the brice has said two tefachim, it means the halacha technically is two tefachim. I shouldn't have the loose end of the rope that's not attached to anything, you know, from hanging out more than two tefachs, two tefachim. But in order to avoid, you know, transgressing, so Shmuel advises only one tefach. In other words, then you'll stay clear of the halacha. Well, let me just do a little bit, and then I'll pause. Turn page. Okay, with the top line on Nundal and Rebeis, you're still with us, Ruth, right? He says, "Vahatanya." The Gemara says, "But we learn in another brisa, uvachiyag biyam in a karka tefach." So we just said that technically it's two tefachim, and now we said shiyag biyam in a karka tefach. We think it means that he can have the rope coming out of his hand as long as it's a tefach above the ground. So Shmuel said, quoted a brisa in base medrash, up to two tefachim and then one tefach. But this brisa seems to say I can have whatever I want as long as it doesn't come within a tefach of the ground. So he says, Kitanya hi bechavla debeni beni. That brisa is talking about something else. That brice is talking about the part of the rope or whatever the leash is between the animal and the hand. That part of the rope or leash shouldn't descend to within a tefach of the ground. So let's just review again. So we learned a couple of different halachot. So one halacha relates to shatnez, that if I have the leashes, I shouldn't tie them all together twice because I might, you know, be over on the din of shatnez if one is wool and one is linen. But on the dinim of Shabbos, which is really halach lemaisa, so it's two dinim. One is that the part that comes out of my hand that's loose shouldn't be more than a tefach, because it'll be hotza'ah if it's more than two tefachim, but to be on the safe side, one tefach. And then the part that's between my hand and the animal, the rope or leash, shouldn't descend within a tefach of the ground. Now, wait, 1 second. Now, I have this Rabbi Ribiot book again, and I've shown you in the past. So here's what he has to say about leashes and things like that. And it's good to know halach lemaisa. You know, we, Baruch Hashem, we have an Erev ingrained in it, but everybody needs to know what the halacha is, and sometimes the Erev goes down, or sometimes you're in a place without an Erev. So he says, he's talking about walking a pet. In walking in Rishus HaRabim, the leash must not drag on the ground, or even sag within a tefach 3.5 to 4 inches of the ground. One was therefore not allowed too much slack on the leash. He says then, when holding the leash in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the free end must not protrude from one's hand to the extent of a tefach. And then he says also, this, we didn't learn this, but he says one must not lift the animal in any way. In other words, besides muksa issues, there's a question of hotzah, if I'm lifting the animal. And then he says the dog must not be rebellious to the extent that the owner must struggle with it to keep it from pulling away or escaping, because then you get into an issue of tzedah on Shabbos. If the animal is like half running away and I'm restraining it, so it's a problem of tzedah. Okay, now wait 1 second and then I'll open up the floor. Let me just see here for 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. He says, let's do the one Rashi on the second wide line from the top on Nundalar Bays. Bechavla de Beni Beni, we said the rope between the hand and the animal has to be more than a tapach. Shemin Yadu de Gamal, Bahukamar Kama Debay Neve, whatever he wants, he could have it whatever he wants in terms of length. Uvat Shed Beinum and a Karka Tefach, provided that it's one tefach off the ground. So the animal seems like it's being pulled by the leash. It doesn't appear to be the shmir for the behema anymore. It just looks like he's carrying something. So it looks like he's just carrying a burden. And all right, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything?
I do.
What's up?
When it comes to this tepach and tepachayim,
right,
on the length of the leash,
right,
doesn't that have to do with the behavior of the animal?
Let's slow it again. Let's say I have a rope that's 10 feet long, and I'll assume the rope is attached to the camel. The rope is 10 feet long. And I hold the camel with 8 feet of the rope, and 2 feet are extending from my hand. So I have a 2 feet piece of rope that's extending down.
So
I don't need that 2 feet. I don't need that 2 feet to restrain the animal, right? So that hanging around. So that's hotzah. What's up?
But if the animal starts flying because he sees another animal, then you need those 2 feet.
Well, this is the way.
You don't go flying.
Yeah, but the part, in other words, the only heter you have is for shmira, and it means the shmira is in use right now. So you have to make your own cheshbon with everything else, but. But if it's not for Shmira, then it's Hotzah.
Right. You could wrap that 2 feet around your hand.
Say again what?
You could wrap that 2 feet around your hand.
Yes.
There's no shyness issue here.
Yeah, so...
It's one rope.
Yeah, so that I have to look into, but Lechora, it should work, but I need to look into that a little bit. The only thing I'm not sure about with Yosef with that, you see, let's say the part you're wrapping around the hand... So what is that? In other words, for the person, it's not...
Going based on the Gemara. They said the only issue is the shyness, the wrapping around.
Yeah. So the Gemara said that the wrap... So you want to think that... But the Gemara is saying that it was a shyness issue not to do with Shabbos. But you want to say,
right,
otherwise he'd be able to be korech. I need to look into it. The part that bothers me is, again, you can only walk out with things that are either a malbush. It's not a malbush. It's not a tachshit. And I don't need it for the shmira for the behema, so then I don't know about that.
So
extra
why
part.
Would the Gemara have to tell me the shatnez reason?
Yeah, so the shatnez part could be nothing to do with Shabbos, I don't know. I need to look into it, and that's what I'm just thinking out loud with you. But all right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. Okay. So I'm moving on. Okay, everybody, mute yourselves. Okay. All right. So now, all right, we're on the second line on Nundalan Amud Beis, okay? Manitin, again, we're talking about what the animal cannot go out with on Shabbos. So the Manitin, Ein Chamur Yotzei B'Bardad B'Zman She'enek Shurlo. A donkey is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a blanket, a saddle blanket, when it's not fastened to him. And if you remember, we said that it meant that it wasn't fastened on Friday. In other words, that it can't go out with the blanket's not fastened at all. That's a davar pashut, because it would fall off and he'd come to carry it. So it means it wasn't fastened on Friday. And the reason I gave you was based on the Chidushi Aran, that we're afraid if you would fasten on Shabbos, you'd come to lean on the animal. But we'll see, Rashi has a different tack in this Gemara. He says, V'lo bezug afu b'yishu pakuk. I'm not allowed to go out with the animal if it has a bell around its neck, even if the bell has been stopped up and it's not going to make any noise. And we'll see in the Gemara this again, this doesn't necessarily relate to Hotzah. It'll be like, it looks like you're going to the market or things like that. He says, below Basulam Shabbat Savaro. Sulam, again, we'll explain in the Gemara what each of these are. Sulam is a ladder, but it means, you know, you have these dogs, you've seen them, I'm sure, walking, and they have like a cone around their heads, so they won't like bite or scratch their hide. You've seen this, no? Yeah, so that's nothing, Ein Kol Chadash Tachat HaShemesh, there's nothing new under the sun, so they had a sulam, like sort of like a type of brace to prevent the animal from going and chewing itself. So here that's a concern, if it falls off, you'll come to carry it, we'll see. He says, Veloberu Tzua Shebraglo, it can't go out with a strap around its leg, we'll see in a minute in the Gemara. Vina Tarnagolim Yotzim Bechutim, and the Tarnagolim can't go out with different strings that would show ownership. He says, Veloberu Tzua Shebraglaim, or Ritzua tied around their legs to prevent them from doing damage. Vina Zacharim Yotzim Ba'agalash Tachara Al Yishalahin, that the male rams can't go out with a little wagonette underneath their tails, he says, to prevent the tails from getting scratched up. Again, a lot of these words and terms, we don't know what they mean, and the Gemara will discuss it. I'm just giving you like a slight preview. Rechelim yotzod chanunot. Rechelim are the female sheep, the ewes. They can't go out chanunot. We don't know what that means, but one shot in the Gemara is going to be that they would take a piece of wood and put it in their nostril, you know, so that it sneezes, and so they can't go out with that piece of wood in the nostril. He says, Vena egel yotze begimon. The calf can't go out with a gimon. We'll see in the Gemara what that is. Velo para b'or hakupar. The para can't go out b'or hakupar. It means like it's like a from the hedgehog. It's like with bristles. We'll see in a minute. Velo b'ritzua shebein karnea. And then a ritzua like tied to its horns, and we'll see whether it's for noy or for shmira. He says, "Paratosher b'lazer ben Azariah tayotza b'rishush mikornesh lo b'rison chachamim." The cow of Reb Lazer ben Azariah was a tana, would go out on Shabbos with rishush mikornesh, not according to what the chachamim like, and we'll see in the Gemara. We'll talk about this. Okay, so we'll take it all down seriatim, as we say in law, one at a time. So the first thing was that the donkey can't go out with a mardat that wasn't tied to it on Friday. It wasn't tied to it on Friday. Mardat is the saddle cloth, the saddle blanket, and it's to keep the donkey warm. So my taima kita amran. Why does it have to be on Friday, kita amran, like we said? Now here, I thought it's a little strange, frankly, in this lashon. The Gemara never really spelled out why it has to be on Friday. The Gemara established that it has to be on Friday. The Gemara never really said why it has to be. The Rishonim come in and give us reasons for it. So I mentioned the Chiddush Ran says that there's a concern that if a person would tie the blanket, and he would obviously tie it with a kesher that's not a kayama, type of knife that's permitted on Shabbos, that there's a concern that he might lean on the animal. But here Rashi takes a different tack, and the Arma Farshim explained the earlier Gemara in the same way. If you look at Rashi, Kida Amran, She'enik shur b'meir Shabbat lo gali me'etmol she'tzrich l'kach she'hila l'malbush. He doesn't demonstrate on Friday that it needs the blanket in order to be a malbush. That's the way Rashi takes it here. So if that's the case, in order to be a malbush, there has to be a demonstrable need for the animal. All right, let's go further. V'lo b'zug afopi shehu pakuk. The animal, whatever the animal is, it could be a cow or anything else, it can't go out with a bell, even though the bell has been stopped up, so the anvil won't hit and won't make any noise. And we said you're not allowed to cause the animal to make noise on Shabbos with a bell, but even if it's not making noise, it can't go out. So so he says, Mishum de Mechsi Kman de Azia Lachinka. It looks like somebody going to the marketplace on Shabbos. That's the way you would bring your animal to the marketplace, apparently with a bell around its neck. I don't know, to make noise or hear ye type of thing. But that's why you can't go out with the bells. You know, I remember one of my rebbeim, like he left the room, he came back, he wasn't happy this is back in high school, he wasn't happy with what he found when he came back, and he says, I leave and I come back, there's Hilula v'chinga. So chinga really means, let's look at the Rashi in chinga. He says, chinga, okay, alright, it's a different Rashi, but One second. Anyway, so chinga really means dancing. and he like hilula v'chinga, in other words, like merriment, you know. Anyway, you get the idea. So Rashi elsewhere, I don't know if it's on this daf or another daf, he says that when you, and I think it's on this daf somewhere, that when you would go to the marketplace, so it's like a chinga, because everybody is formed in circles around in the marketplace. All right, any questions on anything we did so far? Okay, we're moving on.
Yeah, I got a question.
What's up?
Didn't we say that my dad is, we're allowed to put it on Shabbat?
Say again, repeat.
Didn't we say we're allowed to put the Maidat even on Shabbat?
No, we had two different sugyas, right? One was about when the animal's walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and the other was in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So we said... This is talking about to go to the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Okay, all right, let's go.
Where exactly are you, Eric, where are you exactly now?
Okay, we're on 54B, around five lines below the Mishnah, okay?
Right.
Okay, make that three lines down. Okay. Below Basulam Shabbat Savaro, the animal can't go. Sulam means a ladder, but it means like something that's shaped like a ladder with rungs, but Savaro. So Amar Rav Huna Beiloa, it's something that like that goes, like restrains the animal, his ability to like chew itself. Lamay Avdilay Lahicha de Itlay Makad Lohadar Chaichbe. Where the animal has some wound and we don't want the animal to chew the wound. So that would be why you would have it. But you can't do it on Shabbos. And here the reason is, again, that we're afraid that it'll fall off and he'll, the owner will even beshogeg. In other words, it has value. It falls off. And the owner naturally will feel like picking it up and carrying on Shabbos. All right. Now, below Beretsua Shebraglo, the animal can't go. Retsua is like a strap. Like, it could be a thick strap. Like, you know, what people put on tefillin, like the straps are called ritzuot. He says, da avilei the gizra. So Rashi says the gizra, that if it's sort of like knock-kneed, it's like it has a short stride and the legs bang into each other. So we would want to cover the legs with the strap to protect the legs from further injury. So that's not allowed. And apparently that's not viewed as something which is necessary. Now, Veina Tartagolim Yotzim Mechutim. Tartagolim can't go out with strings. So, Da'abule Siman Kiechel Lichalfu. It's a siman that my chickens don't get mixed up with your chickens. But again, that's Hotzah on Shabbos, and not allowed. Below Beretsua, and then there's a strap for the chickens, also not allowed. Da'abule Kiechel Liparumane. They would, like, tie the chicken's legs with a strap, not that it can't move at all, but it's restrained to where it can move, and so it doesn't knock things over and cause them to break. The male rams can't go out with an agala, it's like a wagonette. It would be like to lift up the tail. He says, Ki hechi lo lichamton aliate. So that its alia is like the fatty tail, but it doesn't get lacerated, like trails on the ground. I wish I had Eddie here tonight to comment, but that's what we got. Now, this is a little bit more ambiguous, or it's harder to understand, that rechelim, again, the ewes, the female sheep, can't go chanunot. We don't know what the word chanunot means, and the Gemara is going to analyze it. He says, Yativ Rav Achabar Ula Kamid Rav Chista. So Rav Achabar Ula was sitting before Rav Chista, Yativ Kamar, he sat down and he said, Misha'ash goes in Ota, Tomunla Ezek B'Shemen, that when from the time, in other words, when they shear the animal, so the wool is like the sweater it's wearing. Now I shear it, it's like naked. So they shear off the sheep. So he says, Tomnila Ezek B'Shemen, they make a compress for it that's like made with, you know, soaked in oil. Umanichla padachta, we put it on the animal's forehead. Kideish lo tistani, so it doesn't become cool or chilled out. So according to the way he's saying, the pshat is chanunot, that I have this compress on the animal's forehead, even if it's tied to the forehead, it can't go out with that on Shabbos. That's hotzah. So Amarli Rav Chista. So he said this hezber before Rav Chista. So Amarli Rav Chista im kain asita mar ukva. You're making the animal like mar ukva. Mar ukva was one of the chachamim, but he was very wealthy. And it was like, what do you think to do with the animal? Like, you know, like the animal's getting the care, like grade A care, like the Hilton Hotel. You think that's what the Mishnah means? So Ella Yativ Rav Papa Bar Shmuel kamed Rav Chista. So rather, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel sat before Rav Chista, and the girsa of the Marashal is not before Rav Chista, before Rav Nachman, and you'll see in a few lines why it's Rav Nachman. V'yati v'ka'amar. So he sat down and he said the pshat is, and you see again that even the Amorayim had difficulty understanding the pshat of the Mishnah. He says, b'sha'ah shekurat leled, when the animal, I guess it's a goat here, I assume, that it crouches to give birth, tom l'shnei azakim shel shemen, they would have like two compresses, each soaked in oil. He says, u'manichin la'achal padachta, one they put on its forehead, v'achal l'rechem, one on the womb, k'dei shtitchamein, so that it will warm up the animal. So the idea is that this oil compress heats up the animal. Maybe I'll hear from my medical specialist in a minute. Michael, get ready with this. I want to ask you in a minute. Also, Mayor, why an oil compress would heat the animal up. So Amrli Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to him, and this is why the Marshal says it's Rav Nachman, he says, Imkena sita yalta. In other words, you made the goat like yalta my wife. In other words, they're getting like such... So anyway, so the first two hezberim are echanunot, and we'll explain the etymology in a minute. The first two hezberim are, which were rejected, is either it's a compress to help the animal warm after being sheared, or a compress to help the animal after it gave birth. So, but either way, you can't go out with it on Shabbos. So, Elo Amar Rav Huna. So rather, Rav Huna says, he says, Eitz Echad Yesh B'Krachayayam. There's one tree that's available, B'Krachayayam, is a term of art. It means like the literal cities, littoral, means the cities by the water. He says, v'chanun shemo, the name of the wood is chanun, or the tree is chanun. He says, u'mevin kisim, so they would bring like a piece, like a little like toothpick or a wood chip from that tree, u'manich la b'chotma, and they put it in the animal's nose. He says, k'desh titatesh, so the animal will sneeze, v'yiplu darnei rosha, And the worms that are in its head will be thrown off. In other words, they'll sneeze and the worms will be thrown off. So they sound like, or Dorney are worms, or could be leeches. I don't know. Let me how does he translate it?
Dorney worms.
Okay, the worms are thrown off. So the Gemara says ihachis harmnami. So if that's the case, why is it that the Mishnah says that only the rechelim, the female sheep, can't go out? Chanunot. So we can't go out chanunot. Can't go out with this piece of wood in his nose. That's hotzah. So he said. So why is it say only the female sheep? What about the male sheep? They should also require that. Since they like fight one another, you know, like with their horns or whatever, so the worms fall out as a result of that. So that's three pshatim we had so far, right? So the first two pshatim were like a type of oil compress. The third one is this piece of wood known as chanun. And the fourth pshat is shimon nazira amar, kisma deritma, a piece of the rotem tree. And the rotem, like, is mentioned elsewhere in Shas. Remember, like, gachalebrit tamim is like it's like a long burning coal, right? Like, there's a memory from Chazal about Lashon Hara. It's like, there's a pasuk, it says, you know, something like an arrow. What is the pasuk?
We had Rotem when it talked about Shehiyah. That's a very hot.
Oh, all right. Heat. Also, the same thing with the coal. But what is the thing about Chetz? Something in Chetz and Gachalibra Tamim. Anyway, so the Gemara compares like Lashon Hara, it's like an arrow, and then with the coal, because like after you've said Lashon Hara, it doesn't disappear, it still stays around, like the impact. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Bishlemet Rav Huna, Haidu Tiktani Chanuno. So Rav Huna, his pshat was that piece of wood from the Chanun tree, so I understand why it's called Chanunot. In other words, the name of the tree is Chanun. And so the sheep shouldn't go out Chanunot, they're like, you know, Chanunized, they shouldn't go out like that. El Rabbanan my Chanunot. So, but according to the other pshatim, either with this oil compress or from the Rotem tree, why is it called Chanunot? He says, Davdin Lahu Milta the Merachamina Layu. We're doing something that we're showing the warm them or get rid of their worms out of mercy for the animals. In other words, either, you know, they have the compress to keep them warm, either after the shearing or the giving birth, or the Rotem wood, you know, it's they'll get rid of the worms, but it's like represents our Rachamim, and Chanun is, you know, mercy. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, I'm moving on. Let's keep moving. All right, let's take a look. Okay, we're 10 lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Ruth, you got it?
Pretty much so.
Okay, 4 lines above where it gets medium wide. Bene egel yutzei begimon. A calf can't go out with a gimon. So my egel begimon, what does it mean, a gimon? Amar Rav Huna, bar nira. So Rahuna says means a small yoke. In other words, it's like sort of like a trainer yoke. We want to accustom the calf so it's able to wear like a yoke when it gets older. He says, in other words, we want to train it to bend its head. So the Gemara says, Amar Blazar, my mashma da gimon lishma de mekaf. How does the word, etymologically speaking, gimon, how does that intimate, like causing the animal to bend its head? Dichtiv halakov kagmon rosho. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's talking about people fasting. Like, why am I telling you to fast? Is it halakov kagmon rosho? Is it that you'll bend your head like a fishhook? Meaning, making a pretense of an outward appearance of piety, but inside not really doing tshuva. But the point is, halakov ka'agmon is this fishhook. So in other words, you bend your head like a fishhook. The fishhook is bent, obviously, at the end. But you see, you know, that ka'agmon is something which is bent over. And so gimon is like it causes the animal to bend its head. Okay, let's keep going further. The first very wide, medium wide line downstairs. Lo para ba'or ha'kupar. The para is the cow. Can't go out with the hide of the kupar. And then there's another, also I didn't say it before, but there's another girsav you see upstairs. It's according to Aruch, it's a koped. A koped might fit in a little bit better. So he says, so a koped is a hedgehog. It was like, it's got like a lot of bristles there and things like that. So to avdilak yehilo lematsiwa yale, they would put it on the animal to, so that the leeches don't get to it. In other words, it keeps away the leeches. So, but anyway, the bottom line is that that in other words, leeches want to suck the milk from it. So we would put it on its udder. So, but we can't do that on Shabbos. Okay, now below beritzua should be incarnate. The cow can't go out with a ritzua strap, you know, between its horns. So the Gemara says ilarav damar bein lenoy bein neshamar asur. So, according to Rav, whether it's decorative or it's for shmirah purposes, it's prohibited. In other words, that's, again, the tiruti yeterta. The cow doesn't need such shmirah. Remember, the cow just follows you. He says, and then remember we spoke about the paraduma. He says, Ila Shmuel d'amar l'noy asur l'sham mutar. Or, according to Shmuel, will say, that's only if it's decorative it's prohibited, but if it's shmirah, it's permissible. Okay, now, Paratosh Reb Lazar ben Azariah, the cow of Reb Lazar ben Azariah, who's a Tana, we're all familiar with that from the Haggadah, we have Amar, you know, Harayani Kven Shvim Shana, so would go out with the Ritzua. So that's really surprising to hear that a Tana would have a cow and not following the Halakha, where his cow wouldn't be in conformity with Halakha. So the first thing where he says, V'chata para habile, did he only have one cow? He says, V'ha Amar Rav, Amri la Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Tracer Alpha Egle, Havama Asir Blazon Azari, Me Edre, Kulshata Bashata. That his Maaser Behema is the tithe, 10% of the Behemas that are born each year, you have to take his Maaser Behema. And then the Maaser Behema is just offered as a korban, but his Maaser Behema was 12,000, so it means he had 120,000 calves born each year, if you take it that way. Now, Tosfos Ayas is bothered by the fact that Reb Lazar ben Azariah lived near the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash. This is different as Beirim. He says, so it might be that he might have had like an apotropos taking care of his estate, or it might have been a little bit after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, still taking Maaser Behema. But Tana, lo shaloh haita. So we're back in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana taught in a braisa, it was not his cow. So it wasn't Reb Lazar ben Azariah's cow that went out, not in conformity with halacha. Elo shal shchena to haita. It was his neighbor's cow. Umito shlo michaba nikreid al shmo. But because he didn't protest, he's got the neighbor. The neighbor's got a cow. The cow's walking out with the Resu Shavin Karnea. But because Reb Lazar ben Azariah didn't protest, the Tana of the Mishnah says that his cow went out. Look at a big thing that is, right? It's like he's a Tana, and, you know, people, I could tell you, in life, they get upset about much less. You know, how did you say this about this rabbi, or something like that? And here the Tana of the Mishnah is saying, and it's not even, if you read it, it's not even exactly the way it was. His para went out, but it's calling his para because he could have protested, he didn't protest. So Rav, Reb Chanin, Reb Yochanan, Reb Chaviva, Matnu. So these four Chachamim teach, and then the Gemara interjects, Bekula de Seder Moed, Kolki Aizuga, Chilufi, Reb Yochanan, Amayel, Reb Yonatan. Some, whenever they have these four Chachamim, take out Reb Yochanan and put in Reb Yonatan. This is a famous line. If a person's in a position to protest about something that a member of his household is doing, you know, like maybe I have an adult child and he's dressing not according to the way you should dress on Shabbos or something like that, v'lo micha, and then I don't protest, nitpas on shebeto, he's held accountable in Shemayim for what the members, he didn't do anything, but he's held accountable for what the members of his household did. But Sheiro, if he's in a position where people would listen to him in his town, maybe he has a whole public position, or he's just a Kabbalistic person, and he could protest, and people might listen to him, Nidpas on Sheiro, then he's held accountable for what the people in the town do. B'chol olam kulo, Nidpas on kulam kulo. If he's, you know, the whole world, if he's a very influential person, and he doesn't protest something, he's held accountable for it. So the, you know, I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow because the main sugya is tomorrow. But you know, a lot of people in a shul, they have the idea, you know, I didn't do anything. Whatever they do with this, got nothing to do with me. You know, every avl is taking place, but it's nothing to do with me. They did it, whatever. You know, some people, I don't know, they have a gambling casino on Saturday night in the shul. I'm not doing it. Other people doing it, or whatever. Other people that they're bringing nus into the shul, nothing to do with me. The emphasis is, if you're in a position to protest and you don't protest, yeah, it's got to do with you. And so, you know, it's just like everybody, like, ah, nothing to do with me. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amara Papa, Bahani Debe Reish Galuta, the Reish Galuta was head of the community in Babel. So he says, Hani Debe Reish Galuta, like the officials of the Reish Galuta, Nipasua Kulayama. They're responsible for the whole world. It means, I assume it means like in Babel or whatever, but they were very influential, so they're held accountable for everything. Kihad amar of Rabbi Chanina, like Rabbi Chanina said, my dechiv, Hashem mishpat yavoi mzikne amo b'sarav, that God will come b'mishpat, with justice, with zikne amo. Zikne amo means the members of the Sanhedrin, b'sarav, and the officials. And Hashem is going to bring judgment to the Zakanim, to the members of Sanhedrin, and the Sarim, the officials. He's talking about the time of the first Korban, the first Korban, the first Korban Beis HaMikdash, Pasuk in Yeshaya. So, Im Sarim Chatu, now, the Psukim, it's clear that only the Sarim are the ones who did the Aveirot, because the Psukim only mentioned about the Sarim. So why did the Zakanim imply with this? Im Sarim Chatu, top line on Hei Amid Allah 55a, Zakanim Achatu. What did the Zakanim do? They didn't do anything. The Sarim did everything. Ella, Ema, Al Zakanim Shlomichu Besarim. They held accountable because they didn't protest when the Sarim were doing all their Ablas. All right, now let me just see if I have anything to say here on this. Give me 1 minute. 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Oh, 1 second. Not this. There was something else that was interesting that came up. 1 second, the sheep. Oh, you know what? Here, I'll just read. I won't go through the whole thing, but I'll mention. This is not the story, Michael. So you don't have to get nervous, Michael. I like it when I saw you. I don't like the picture. The picture's nice, but I like seeing you. But
how does Michael do that picture?
What? I don't know how. Some people do these pictures. I don't know how they do it. Now. But he has a piece here from Yitzchak Zilberstein.
Very white teeth.
Okay, listen to this. It's very. He discussed an issue of an experienced and a qualified doctor who worked out of a hospital.
It's his high school yearbook picture.
Anyway, so from Yitzchak Zilberstein, he discusses an experienced and qualified doctor who worked out of a hospital and he ran a private practice out of his neighborhood clinic. Anyway, the daughter worked in his clinic as a nurse. And then she noticed that the facility was stocked with items that came from the hospital. So the daughter figures the father's been really pilfering stuff from the hospital. So we said you have to be moches. So he gets into a whole arichas. What are the responsibilities of the daughter? She sees the father doing all these terrible things. Yeah. So they quote. So I won't go through the whole thing. I'll just quote the end. Rav Zilberstein explains the reason the daughter in R.K. should inform on her father is in order to save the father from eternal retribution for his erroneous ways. So he's saying she's got to inform on him. Then Rav Chaim Kanievsky suggested the daughter may remain silent. It is possible the hospital understands that the doctors who work there often take supplies for personal use. And then I'm just quoting a little bit here. And then he quotes at the end, Rebbe Yashiv also responded to the issue, and he held the daughter must tell her father that her findings indicate the father's actions are a violation of laws of theft. She will still not work with the stolen objects. Anyway, but you see the idea about being protesting when somebody does something. All right, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? Okay. Or Michael than Arthur. Go ahead, Michael.
I think the people were more upset that the Tana was so wealthy than really about the single cow that walked out with the Ritzur decoration.
But who was upset?
The people who complained. They didn't really care about that single cow. They were jealous of how wealthy this Tana was.
No. But in other words, the Chachamim are the ones who compiled the Mishnayot. So the Chachamim are the ones, and it was not the people out there, and it was, and ultimately Rebbe is the Masada Mishnayot. Rebbe is codifying a Mishnah, and with this, you know, bad news about Reb Lazar ben Azariah. So and Rebbe, you know,
the Chachamim were upset,
right?
Yeah,
right.
The Chachamim, they were jealous.
Well, I don't think that's the way the Chachamim would approach it.
But why did he do it? Was he like protesting because he didn't agree with the halacha?
No. I don't know why he did it, but he didn't do anything. He just kept silent. Maybe he felt, you know, that he didn't want to breach etiquette or something like that. But
no, I'm talking about the rabbi who let the cow go out. Why did he do that?
No. The rabbi did not let his own cow go out. He was Shomer Shabbos. The rabbi, his neighbor, let a cow go out, and
It says the cow of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah.
Right. So the Gemara says it does not mean it was his cow. Even though the Mishnah says his cow went out, it was not his cow. It was his neighbor's cow. The reason the Mishnah wrote that is because he was responsible for it, so he gets discredited as if it's his own cow, but it was not his cow.
Okay. No, I didn't get that. I didn't catch that.
I didn't get that either.
Oh, so now everybody hopefully has got it. So Reb Lazar...
That was the Gemara.
That was the Gemara.
Okay, so Reb Lazar Azariah is totally Shomer Shabbos. The neighbor wasn't Shomer Shabbos. So
yeah, no. The Gemara answers it was taught in the Tosefta that the cow was not his, it was his neighbor.
Right. All right. Now, Arthur, where are you? Arthur, what do you got for us?
There's just more for Michael. When I was a kid, they told me a story. The Bach wanted to go into to Gehenna for some reason to take out all the Rishayim. And they said, how are you going to let the Bach into Gehenna? So they looked him over, and they found that he had, he sneezed when a shar and a chamar moved together. That was enough to let him into Gehenna. It's a little bit of a scary story because just sneezing unintentionally in the Shor Chamar move was enough to let him into Gehenna to do what he wanted to take out to the Shor. The thing is, I went down to Middle Neck Road on Shabbat and I was crossing the street and I sneezed and a jaguar and a viper.
All right, Arthur. Arthur, you're being recorded. Okay, Jocelyn, what do you got? Okay.
Rabbi, is it possible to say, Bezchut Rabbi Ben Azariah, that it was like Kipsat Arash? The rabbi had social sensitivity for this woman, possibly a widow, who had only one cow.
I understand what so she's got one cow. So how does that mean that she could be Michal Shabbos?
Maybe she was not that educated. Maybe she didn't know.
But that's more reason to indicate if she didn't know, you should inform her. Anyway.
Was sensitive with her. What do you think? Out of sensitivity, didn't want to.
I don't know. All right. Any more questions? Any more? Michael, you want to say something? You're done. All right. Now, okay. Now, again, the learning tonight was sponsored by Gavriel Aronoff and occasionally your Yortzeit, his father, Avram Ben Raphael. All right. That's